If I'm dying tonight, it's death by drowning. Written by Tell Me the Sky's Blue, and read by Sunkit and Shash. A not me gen fic, rated teen, relationship black and white. Part one of the My Other Half, My Mirrored Self series. Additional tags include drowning, twins, codependency, introspection, unhealthy coping mechanisms. There are two things that will always remind White of his brother, even after all these years. Loss, and what it feels like to drown. Not his earliest memory, but perhaps the most critical, is that day at the pool. The catalyst of their separation, and the cementing of his lifelong association with the two feelings. They had gotten there early, their father driving them, his mother in the passenger seat, singing along gently to the radio. While he and his brother sat in the back. Black on the left and himself on the right, their designated spots for however long he could remember. They had dressed in their swim trunks as soon as they had gotten there, too excited to get into the pool. They had spent some time playing around and splashing each other until Todd arrived, and they promptly handed him the stopwatch to keep track of their racing time. He had rolled his eyes, but couldn't fight against the both of them teaming up on him with the same request. He and Black had rested their backs against the wall, eagerly waiting for Todd to signal them to start. The thing is, White already knew he was going to lose. When it came to athletics, Black was always better than him. His brother the daredevil, the brave-hearted, the ambitious and clever, barely a centimeter taller than White, and lording it over him whenever possible. He knew it wasn't a matter of winning, but rather how bad the loss would be, how many more seconds he would stay underwater while his brother breathed in the air. He had never taken loss well, especially when it came to his brother. It sat heavy in his stomach and left a bad taste in his mouth. The separation of winner and loser felt too great for them, who were meant to be identical in every way. He wanted to stand next to his brother, not behind him. Selfishly, he wished to keep Black back if it meant they would remain the same. It was a dichotomy that had followed him around for years. Why did he keep having to play catch-up with the one person that was his exact equal? His brother was far from perfect. Even as a child, he had realized that. Yet he yearned for that small gap between them to disappear completely. They were connected. The same heart held in different rib cages. The same breath in different lungs. It wasn't right for them to change too drastically from the other. He remembers holding a bit of a grudge about that, a small, childish thing that lingered in his mind. Identical things should stay identical. He couldn't understand why Black couldn't just slow down for just a moment and allow him to catch up. "Don't be in such a hurry to change," he would often think to himself. "Don't create a distance between us that I can't fill. Is it truly so bad for us to stay this way?" He had wanted the two of them to never grow up, never grow apart. His brother, his twin, was the one thing that he felt made him truly special. Their connection was his most prized possession, and he despised any threat to it. It was what pushed him to keep practicing, to keep chasing after Black and erase any degree of separation between them. He stayed in the pool when Black went to go shower, trying to improve his racing time. 3 seconds. That was all he needed to beat, to finally have the tie he always insisted on. To return them to equals, their natural and perfect state of being. It must have been the overuse of his muscles that caused the cramp, his legs so tired from long hours of play that they finally thought to protest. If only they had chosen a better time for it. He remembers the moment of panic when the pain hit, and he realized he couldn't push himself back up to the surface. Suddenly, the lack of air in his lungs had burned, a pain in his chest spreading out like the spill of ink. It happened quickly, almost too quickly, as if one sensation would magnify the next until he was completely overwhelmed. Before he knew it, water was quickly replacing the oxygen in his lungs, going up his nose and blocking his ears as he began to lose consciousness. He remembers his last thought was of his brother, so far ahead of him and breathing in the air. When he at last came to, spitting up the chlorine-flavored water of the pool, he turned his body to the left, seeking comfort from his second shadow. Blearily, he had seen Black laid by his side, pale and shaking. His own body felt weak at that moment, but a calmness had settled over him at the sight of his brother. After, he was told the story of how his brother had collapsed while showering, having been perfectly fine until the moment White had nearly drowned, although a part of him had already known it would happen that way. When they were children, younger even than that day at the pool, their shared injuries would often hurt them more. As babies, they would get caught in loops of crying fits, driving their parents mad with headaches. As toddlers, any bruise or scraped knee was felt equally. The shared sensation of pain was a constant torment for their frantic mother, but familiar enough to them to find comfort in it. As they got older, it was mostly Black sharing White's pain from clumsy mistakes, yet his brother never once complained about it, although he was scolded once or twice for his carelessness. Even that day in the pool, when he was finally conscious enough to see his brother lying in pain beside him, his only thought was on how right it felt for all fear and pain and misery to belong to them equally. As much as he understands his parents' fear, he will never forgive them for what they took from him. The joy of their otherness, of their oneness, was shadowed by their parents' need for them to be normal. A whisper in his mind that resents their forced separation would have preferred their shared death. They had been created in the same moment, lived every stage of their development together, and were brought into the world on the same day. Throughout his life, he could not remember ever being without Black. It would have only been fair for them to have died together too, instead of the half-death of departure that was imposed upon them. The first day without his brother had been the beginning of a life of solitude and isolation. To look behind himself and only see a single shadow instead of two was to no longer see his reflection in the mirror. He hadn't realized when he started thinking of his brother as my whole self instead of my other half, feeling as if his identity had been robbed the moment he became White instead of Black and White. It wasn't normal, and it wasn't anything he expected other people to understand, but in the initial days of no contact, he began to search for his brother within his body, to feel the beat of Black's heart in his chest, to see things with Black's eyes, and in the rare case he was able to find joy in anything, hear Black's laugh from his mouth. Yet, as always, it was never enough. He could not fool himself into thinking his brother was still by his side, He felt his absence like an everlasting hollowness within himself. And now, miserable and alone, he did everything he could to fill it. The habit started 3 months after he was taken from his brother, and he's continued it throughout the years. It's become routine for him, desperately reaching out for his brother and that special connection he cherished so much on the days it hurt too deeply to be apart. He doesn't think he'll ever get used to the feeling of being half a person, but this helps to lessen it some. He lets the tub fill up before stripping out of his clothes. Some days, he leaves his shorts on, but today he steps naked into the water, pulling his knees to his chest as the cold makes him shiver. He lets the tranquility of the water guide him to a meditative state, drifting off to the memory of laughing children, splashing water, and the feeling of his brother beside him. He takes in a deep breath, letting it out as he slides further into the water, eyes slipping closed as he fully submerges. Beneath the water, all he can hear is the steady beat of his heart, their heart, the black and white heart that sits in his chest. He stays under until he can see the outline of his brother's face behind closed lids, forever a child. Embraced as he is now, surrounded by all sides, all he can think about is being cradled in his brother's arms, their skin merging until they are one being, suspended forever in water. When his lungs start to protest, he selfishly does not raise his head, waiting to feel any tug at their bond. He counts to 3, and even at the last second, it remains quiet. There is no voice in his head that calls him brother, my other half, and White has no choice but to give up and try again another time. Still, he has waited long enough for some water to enter his nose, and he coughs loudly to try and clear his airways. The familiar lightheadedness that is tied to his near drowning now overtakes him, and he rests against the side of the tub to catch his breath. His skin tingles all over, ill-fitting on his body, and he wonders if his brother feels the same way sometimes, if he still turns to his right to look for White, or if he keeps marching on the way he always has, one step ahead and never looking back. Does he introduce himself as Black, just Black, or does he still pause after his name, the "and" stuck on the tip of his tongue the way it always catches on White's? Does he mourn the loss of their otherness, their oneness, their special connection that so many never understood? Do people even know he's a twin? Would it matter if they did, when he has no twin to show them? When he stands in front of the world with only one shadow and no echo to his heart? When White thinks of his brother, he thinks of loss, of failure, of the death they never shared, and the many years he's wandered through life entirely alone. As he sits in the tub, cradled by water and ceramic, he thinks of all that separates them even now. The first thing, as always, that comes to mind are those dreaded titles. Winner and Loser, Black and White. The End.